This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We'll now move into a time of scripture reading. Today's passage comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. I'd like to invite Sister Genevieve up before Pastor Nick gives us God's word.
Okay. Good afternoon, church. So today, if you're reading from the church Bible, the passage can be found on page 1063. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace, in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the word of God.
Good afternoon. We'll be looking at God's word together, so I'll need to ask God for his help to reveal his truth to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come to your word, you take my human words in all their weakness and imperfection, that you will use them faithfully to expound the written word, and so lead us to the living word, the Lord Christ himself, in whose name we pray. Amen. So I grew up in the time before Spotify. So this uncle grew up in the CD generation. Okay, not the vinyl, not the tape, just CD. Okay, not that old. And I still have a lot of CDs in my house. My wife keeps telling me to throw them away, but I can't bear to throw them away because it's worth a lot of money. Now, so for those of you who don't know what we do, how do I decide to buy, for example, this Eric Clapton CD? So this is Eric Clapton Chronicles Tour 2007, limited edition. So how do I decide whether to buy this CD or not? What I do is I go to a CD shop. Okay, that time it was Gramophone. To listen, at Gramophone, I'll listen to a sample of one track. And based on that sample, after I listen to a sample, I'm looking at the CD. To see whether I recognize any of the songs there. Maybe I recognize one or two more of the songs, but actually I don't know the rest of the songs. So based on that one track that I listen, that one track that I sample, and based on whatever is on the back of the CD case, I decide whether I want to risk my $20 to buy the whole album. Okay, thankfully this one got 28 songs, so got higher chance. Yeah. So we like to find out more information before we know what we're getting ourselves into. So if you want to watch a movie, we watch a movie trailer to see if this is something that you want to watch. If you want to buy something, we check the reviews on Shopee before buying that new gadget. If we are going to take a new class, we ask our friends, hey, is this teacher good or not? Can she actually teach? You want to see whether you want to invest our time and our effort in whatever this new thing is. So today we're starting our series in the Gospel according to John. So this is the book that John, the writer, tells us about Jesus. And John is sure that Jesus is worth relying all your life. So Jesus wrote this book. So John wrote this book so that in chapter 20 he says, so Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe. That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John wants you to believe in Jesus. And he records some of Jesus' miracles, and they call these miracles signs. And he hopes that as you think about these signs, they'll help you believe who Jesus is so that you may have life. So that is John's goal. But some of us might be new to who Jesus is, so you might be confused. So what Messiah? What life? Well, what is going on in this book? But on the other extreme, some of us might feel bored, like yawning in your brains already, because you have read John so many times through your life. And maybe you were even here the last time you went through John, and you led one of the Bible studies. Now, no matter where you are in this study, in our journey through the book of John, John today is giving us a trailer about Jesus. His movie trailer about Jesus, so that you know who this Jesus is as you read all the different signs that he does. And today I want to show you two things about Jesus. Jesus, the Word, creates new life. Jesus, the Word, reveals the Father. I hope that as we look at these things that you'll be amazed at Jesus so that you want to keep reading the book. So first, Jesus, the Word, creates new life. So first, John says, Jesus is the Creator God. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus is the Word. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus was in the beginning with God. Now this beginning is the beginning of the world. Beginning of the world. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, this is the first book of the Bible talking about how the world was made. Verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So Jesus was at the world's beginning with God the Father. Now on top of that, Jesus wasn't just at the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, Jesus is God. Jesus is divine, 100% God. Jesus is as eternal, as powerful, as loving as God the Father. So this divine Jesus was at the world's beginning with God the Father. And what was Jesus' role at the beginning? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word that created the world. Okay, so Genesis verse 2 onwards tells us how the world was made. Now, the world was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The world was in darkness. God the Father willed that there would be light. So Jesus was the Word that spoke out, that commanded, that called forth light. Let there be light. And there was light. And Jesus didn't only create light, he created everything. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, Jesus is the Word that created everything. There's nothing that he did not create. So Jesus created us. Jesus gave you and I life. So as God spoke the Word, he created the world. And Jesus was that Word. Now you might wonder, Now, this is literally ancient history. Why bring this up now? Why do we need to know that Jesus is the Creator God? Well, you need to know that Jesus is the Creator God, that He has the power to create, because He is doing a new creation. He is bringing new light. Verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now here Jesus is described as having life and light. This light is shining, and verse 5 says the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness tries to overcome the light, tries to defeat the light in Jesus, but it cannot. Now my kid's room was in darkness for a few months. Now, because their ceiling light was spoiled, I bought the replacement, but I just didn't have time to fix it. So when it was night, it was really, it was all dark. There was no light at all. In December, I finally installed the light, and the light works, so there's now light in my kid's room. So no matter how dark the night was outside, darkness in the room is defeated by a flick of a switch. Now Jesus is giving a new light that shines in darkness. And this darkness cannot defeat Jesus. Just like when God created lights all the way at the beginning, no matter how dark it was, darkness could not overcome the light. And this darkness that Jesus faces will attempt to defeat Jesus' new light, but it will not be successful. It will always fail. Now what kind of darkness is this? This darkness sounds like it has a will of its own to try to foolishly defeat Jesus' light. I'll try to help us understand what this darkness is. We need to know what's the right response to the light. So Jesus comes to give new light, and what's the right response? The right response is to believe, verse 6. So verse 6, we are introduced to another character. His name is John. This is different from John the writer. We'll call him John the Baptist. So John the Baptist recognized the light in Jesus. So in verse 7, he came as this John. John came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. John the Baptist knew that Jesus was a light. Now the light wasn't just part of Jesus, wasn't just in Jesus. The light is Jesus. So he testified to others that Jesus is the light that they need. And they need to believe in Jesus. So friends, if the right response is to believe in Jesus, then what's the wrong response? The wrong response is to reject Jesus. In verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So Jesus is the creator that comes to give new light. The true light that gives light was coming into the world. This tells us that the world is in some form of darkness. A darkness that even the sun is useless against. Now that's why the true light must come into the world. The light from Jesus shines on the world, and it exposes the darkness that's in the world. Now what is this darkness? This darkness is a darkness of rejecting Jesus, the true light. This darkness of rejecting Jesus stretches over the whole world. In verse 10, you see Jesus, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world did not recognize its own creator and God. So Jesus came into the world, and the world asked Jesus, who are you? You are not my creator. I don't belong to you. And it's worse than that. You see, the darkness of rejecting Jesus even engulfs his own people, the Jews. In verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This darkness is so pervasive that even God's own people, even Jesus' own people, rejected him. So when Jesus went to his own people said, go away. I'm not your own. I don't belong to you. So as you read the book of John, you see how darkness tries to defeat the light. The Jews would keep saying no to Jesus. They tried to stone him twice. And they even put Jesus on sham trials to prove him guilty and execute him. And when they hung Jesus on the cross, they think that they have defeated him. only for Jesus to rise from the dead, because darkness cannot overcome the light. Darkness is rejecting Jesus. Darkness tries to overcome Jesus. Even people today still reject Jesus. People today still try to defeat Jesus. Someone I know said, I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in science. Well, he thinks that science has defeated Jesus. Now, someone else told me, I believe that my God created your Jesus. So my God is greater than your Jesus. So he thinks that his God has created Jesus. Well, for the rest of us, we might think, well, my Mondays to Saturdays, that's my own. Well, Sundays, Jesus can have it. So we think that we can defeat Jesus. And John exposes all these as foolish darkness, trying to defeat the light. So if you're in a dark room, just turn on the light and darkness disappears. Darkness is foolish. It cannot defeat the light. And it cannot bring you the amazing privilege that Jesus has for those who believe in him, for those who receive the light. So out of this darkness, some people will receive Jesus. And those people who receive Jesus, you have the amazing privilege to become children of God. So verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the rights to become children of God. Children not born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The privilege to have this legal rights to call God the Father now belongs to them. Now those who believe will have this amazing privilege. Now remember what we learned about God so far. So God the Father is divine. We are not. God the Father is eternal. We are not. So God is in a separate category, a separate class from us. But yet, we can have this legal right to call God, the creator of the universe, our Father. And it's not just that he kind of adopts us into his family. Well, that's what the Bible says, but John here goes even further than mere kind of adoption, as if we are still kind of separate. So verse 13, the end of verse 13, it says, we're not born of flesh, but we are born of God. We're born again with God as our Father. It's as if we have God's DNA in us, as if we have some resemblance, some family resemblance with God the Father. And how does Jesus do all this? Because Jesus is our Creator God, and he's creating new life. As the word speaks, it brings forth new life. So Jesus is creating new life for all who receive him. New lives as children of God. So that those people who believe in Jesus, they are created. They are reborn. They are reborn as children of God through Jesus the Word. So in the book of John, it's like the Samaritan woman in chapter 4. She's despised by her town, but she believes in Jesus. Then she's no longer a despised Samaritan, but a child of God. Or like the blind man in chapter 9, outcast by the leaders, kicked out of the synagogue, abandoned by his parents, but he believes in Jesus. Then he's no longer a despised outcast, but a child of God. And even the video that we saw just now, the village chief who believes in Jesus, now she is a child of God. So this introduction here shows us our problem. See, when we reject Jesus, when we say no to Jesus, we are trying to defeat Jesus. We think we know better than our Creator God. This darkness engulfs our world today. Our world has turned its back on God, thinking that we know better than our Creator. And it's to this rebellious world, this world in darkness, that Jesus comes to give you light and life. So friends, will you continue in your darkness, trying to defeat God? Or will you accept him? So Jesus, the Word, creates new life. And that's the first thing that John wants you to know about Jesus. The second thing John wants you to know about Jesus is that Jesus, the Word, reveals the Father. Jesus, the Word, reveals the Father. Now, this is how Jesus reveals the Father. First, Jesus reveals the Father by being God with us. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God with us. Now, Jesus is 100% God. So this 100% divine Jesus became 100% human. And because Jesus was fully human, His disciples could see Him. They could touch Him. And as the disciples saw Jesus, they saw Jesus' glory. Jesus' glory as God. And verse 14 describes Jesus as making His dwelling with His disciples. Now the phrase made His dwelling is as if Jesus is using His body as a tent for his glory. Now this reminds God's people of the tent that held God's glory in the past. So that's called the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. Okay, so this is a passage from Exodus. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because a cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now this was one of the high points in the history of God's people, because God's presence came into this tent. Now it's a high point because now, at this point, God was finally living with His people, together with His people. Except, if you notice here, Moses could not go into the tent. God's people could not go near the tent, or they would die. Now, in the book of John, Jesus is now where God's glory is. So the high point of God living with His people now is in Jesus. The disciples can see the Father's glory through Jesus. Now, even John the Baptist in verse 15, when he points out Jesus as a human being, and John says, This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me. So John says, that's a guy. Jesus is the guy. He's infinitely greater than me because Jesus was before me. Jesus was there at the beginning. Jesus is both God and man. So Jesus is God with us. So Jesus bridged that gap between God and humans by taking on our flesh. So that we lowly created human beings can be with the infinite creator God. And we can see the glory of God in Jesus. So that's the first reason why Jesus can reveal the Father to us. Because Jesus is God with us. And the second reason is that Jesus reveals the Father by bringing us new grace. So in verse 16, we see that we have received grace in place of grace already given. So it's this new grace that replaces the old grace that was already given. And what are these two forms of grace? Look at verse 17. What does it say? The two forms of grace are the law and grace and truth. So the law is that old grace. It's still a good thing. It's still a grace because this is the law from Moses. It's a good thing because it's a law that was given. God gave His people this good gift, the law, through Moses, so that they know how to live with Him. But as they looked at the law and tried to live with the Holy God, they realized they can't live with Him. So instead of being a good thing for them, the law accuses them of every time they failed to obey God. So that's the old grace. The first grace is still good, but humans are the problem. We can't obey the law. Then there's the new grace. The new grace in verse 17 is grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ. Now already this is better. The new grace is better than the old grace. The old grace is great. New grace is better because the new grace is the person Himself. Now, there's a flower shop near my house. Now got Valentine's Day promotion. So So it says order, okay, the date is not there, but order before 31st January for a $5 discount off a bouquet worth, I don't know, $200 or something. Now, you might like to receive a bouquet or a gift from a loved one, but it's much, much better to have your loved one with you. So in the same way, the law is great because it's a gift from God, but grace and truth coming through Jesus Christ, that's even better. Because that's a person. That's Jesus. That's God himself coming. Now, the second difference. So, Second difference is that while the law shows we cannot obey God, grace and truth shows us there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Now, grace and truth is a phrase that we need to understand together. Because it's a phrase that describes who God is in his glory. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself to Moses as who he is in his glory. This is what God says about him in his glory. As he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love or grace, and faithfulness or truth. So yes, God gave the law. But God, in his nature, in his glory, is not a demanding taskmaster. God, in his nature, in his glory, is the one who is full of grace and truth, full of abounding love and faithfulness. God, in his glory, is the forgiving God. He's the forgiving God who never fails, who never gives up on his people who keep failing him. Now, we might give up on someone who fails us one time. Once bitten, twice shy. But God's glory is that he's abounding in love and faithfulness, full of grace and truth. He's ready to forgive us every time we break his law. Ready to forgive us when we turn back to him and ask him for help. Our passage shows us how to receive this grace and truth. How does it come to us? Look at verse 17. How does it come to us? It comes to us through Jesus Christ. Now, for those of us who have your Bibles open, I'd like you to scan verse 1 to 17. Say, when's the first time you see the word Jesus Christ? See if you can spot it. When's the first time you see the word Jesus Christ in this passage? You notice? It's not in verse 1, not in verse 2. It's all the way down to verse 17. Now, why take so long to tell us that grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ? Why take so long to tell us Jesus Christ? Why don't just start with, okay, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's because you and I receive forgiveness by believing in who Jesus Christ is. Now, verse 17 isn't just telling you that, okay, you go to this person. It's just a referral to go to this person for forgiveness. No, verse 17 tells you what to believe about Jesus from his name. So Jesus means God saves. It means Jesus is the God who saves us. Jesus is a savior. Christ means God's appointed forever king, forever ruler. So Jesus is the ruler that we must all submit to. So Christ means king. So what believing in Jesus means, what receiving Jesus means is to rely on Jesus as your savior and ruler. Rely on Jesus to save you from this world in darkness, in rebellion against God. And to rely on Jesus to follow him as your ruler, as your king. So through Jesus, we see God's glory, God's character. That through Jesus, God can forgive me of my rebellion against him, and God can graciously let me follow him. So Jesus reveals the Father in bringing us new grace. And you might ask, but why is Jesus' revelation the clearest? Why is it the best? But that's because Jesus reveals the Father most clearly to us. So there are three reasons in verse 18. I'll go through them quickly. So first, Jesus is the one and only son. Now, in those days, sons need to know what their fathers did for work to carry on the father's business. So if the father is a fisherman, the son is a fisherman. If the father is a carpenter, the son is a carpenter. So the son needs to know what the father is doing. So Jesus is the one and only son because... Jesus is the one and only son. This means Jesus is the one, only one who knows his father's business, what his father is doing. So Jesus can reveal the father as the one and only son. And on top of that, verse 18 tells us, Jesus is himself God. Jesus is 100% God. He's 100% divine. He understands what it means to be God. So he can reveal God the Father to us. Third, Jesus is in closest relationship with the Father. Now, Jesus could have been the only one and only son and who is God, but be on bad terms with the Father. And if that's Jesus, then he can't tell us who the Father is. But that's not the case. Jesus is the one and only son who is God, and he's in closest relationship with the Father. Now that's why Jesus is the one who knows his Father's heart to forgive those in darkness. So Jesus, the Word, reveals God to us. So Jesus communicates his Father to us. He tells us, Jesus tells us, that God, the Father, is ready and eager to forgive. And those of us who believe in Jesus, we receive God's forgiveness. And when that happens, Jesus creates new life for us. New lives where we become children of God. And we can call God our Father. So if I summarize what's going on here, so Jesus, the Word, creates new life by revealing the Father. Jesus, the Word, creates new life by revealing the Father. So what have we seen today? Jesus introduces us to Jesus. In Jesus' character, in his actions, in his teachings, we see who God the Father is. So that we don't just know him as God the Father, we know him as God our Father. Now friends, isn't this trailer about Jesus wonderful? That he, the infinite creator God, will step into this world of darkness to take on lowly human flesh, to save us from ourselves, to give us this massive privilege to be born again as a child of the infinite God. So friends, don't stop at the trailer. Take up the book and read. Join us as we go through the book of John, through his sermon series, and our Bible studies, and our youth group. And put in the hard work to read it for yourself, to see to see who Jesus is. I know that we know what hard work is. I mean, we have all gone through school. I know that some of us are staying late to study for exams. Now, this is far more important than exams. This tells you not just what major exam you're going to take. This tells you who God is. And you might want to, as you see Jesus, Jesus will reveal the Father to you. You might even want to take a quick read through the book this week. And I pray that this book will fill us with wonder as we see God's grace for us through Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for nourishing us with your words of life. Please use this passage to continue your good work in us until it's complete at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have two discussion questions today. The first is, which aspect of Jesus was most striking for you? The second, what are you hoping to learn about Jesus through this book, the book of John? Well, let's discuss with our partner next to us, who will give us some time, and I'll bring everyone back when we are.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.